nervous. Let's give our kids time to get out. I want to thank the praise and worship team this morning. I want to thank Brian for leading us, and Richie did an awesome job. Praise and worship team, it was incredible. Thank you so much. We were blessed this morning. If you're wondering why I'm up here and not Pastor Mark, he was supposed to be in Iowa today. So anyway, he's not. He's here, but I'm up here anyway. So trust the Lord's going to speak to us. How many came in here today expecting to have a time of worship with the body and to hear what the Word of the Lord has to say to you? Amen. Amen. And if I say that, I do not mean that you do not hear from the Lord at home. Some people, you know, you have to be careful what people say these days, because you're just not sure if you want to be in agreement with them. And because sometimes they're not really saying what their mouth maybe say that they're saying. They're really saying something else. But I'm saying, did you come here today to hear from the Lord? Amen. I have been seeking the Lord, as I'm sure that all of you have, and I believe I have a word for us corporately today. And the word is, can God use me? Can God use me? How many of you have ever questioned that? How many of you ever said, can God use me? You know, maybe when you first became a Christian, or maybe you've walked with the Lord for a while, you didn't think that at first. You just wanted to be a part of the body, and so you settled in and you were beginning to learn, and then as you were growing, you thought, can God use me? So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you. Lord, we come this morning and settle our hearts and settle our minds with open ears to hear your voice. You are so faithful. All my dependence is upon you this morning. No cleverness in me. No eloquent words. Just a faithful God. Your people have gathered here today that you may speak. So Lord, it's very simple this morning, as it is every time that we come. Those who know you cry out for more of you. Maybe those who don't know you today will hear and come. I come as a servant. Only a servant. For it's you that we need, and it's you, Lord God Almighty, that we desire to hear. Break open your bread for us this morning. Feed us at your table. Take your word. Separate in us the things that are not pleasing and satisfying to you. Let our hearts be turned to you this day. We ask it in the name of Jesus, the Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Amen. Can God use me? I've asked that question many, many times. Can God use me? And as I prepared this, I thought about my own self and how when I went before the Lord and thought, well, Lord, can you use me? And what did I begin to do? And I've spoken with a few people over the years, and they've had that question. And one of the things that we begin to do is we begin to look at our own abilities. We begin to take inventory. I don't know if you've ever worked in retail. I'm kind of getting a little sidetracked here, but if you work in retail, once a year they do inventory. It is the most horrible thing in the world. You hate that. I worked in retail for years, and I hated inventory, counting everything. But we do that. We take inventory and we begin to list. We have a running list of the things that we, our pluses and our minuses, and the things that we have that we can offer to God that He can use that we have. And some of us, it may be our education. And we have this education that we can offer to God that He can use for His kingdom, for His glory. Our family, because we came from a good family. And so that's a plus for us. You know, they have a good name. They have a good standing in society. So yes, that can be used for your kingdom. Some of us have finances. And we can use that, Lord. We can use that for you. It's our friends, the people we know. They can get us into places, and we can use that, Lord. And some of us, it's our physical strength. I can use my strength for you, Lord. And some of us, we talked about this, we've been talking about this in our study on Wednesday nights with Jacob. It's our cunning. We are very cunning, and we can use this for your glory. Some of us, it's our outward appearance. Now, you may not think that, but there are those who think that their outward appearance, and especially the day and time that we live in, how much importance is put on the exterior, on how you look. It's very important. If there weren't, there wouldn't be so many of these reality shows where you get makeovers. And we're all dying to have a makeover. Some of us, it may be our ability to lead in the natural, in the world. We are natural born leaders. Some of us have a boldness that others do not have. And so, yes, I can use this for you, Lord. Some of us, it may be our youth. I probably should exclude myself with that, but some people may think it's their youth, their age. This, I'm at the perfect age to be used by you, Lord. And some may think it's their good health. I've been blessed with good health, so you can use that. Some of us may have excellent communication skills, a good grasp of the vocabulary, and able to just draw on those words at any moment and any time and think, Lord, do you see what I have? What is in this vessel that you've called? Some of us, excluding myself, may have musical abilities, have a beautiful voice to be able to sing, and we can just go on and list those pluses that we have. And when we're speaking to the Lord about, can you use me, God? And we're making this list and we're looking and it looks pretty good what we have to offer God. And then there are some of us, when we begin to make that list, we have the negatives. And some of us, probably the majority of us, we dwell on the negatives. Okay. We list that we have lack of education. I don't have degrees, Lord. Some of us have our families. We consider them a hindrance because of where we came from. Maybe we're the only Christian. Maybe no one in our family has ever served the Lord. And so we look at that as being a hindrance. Some of us look at our finances. Maybe we only have a widow's mite and we just barely can squeak by. And how could God use me when I have nothing? And then we look at the fact that maybe we have no friends. We don't know anyone in high places except for the Lord. Maybe all of our friends, we come out of a place where we've been on the streets, or we've been in a place where we didn't have any friends. We've burned all the bridges behind us, and so we're all alone. Some of us may look at our age. I can put myself in that category. Maybe thinking, you know, these are latter days, Lord. What could you possibly do? I don't have the youth, Lord. I don't have the physical strength to do. I don't have the good health that I did have at one time, Lord. I don't have the ability to call upon words, great flowery words, to be able to speak before your people. I don't have a beautiful voice and I have no musical talent. I cannot lead. I have no ability to lead within me because I'm fearful, Lord. I'm afraid. And I'm not attractive. I'm not very nice to look at. Can you use me, God? Can you use someone like me? How many of us are sitting here thinking about these things and we're saying, you know, God, I know that you could use my neighbor. I know my neighbor and he is such a great guy. He's so good. He's just so smart. You can use him. Or your coworker. Maybe you work with someone that you admire and you think, God can use this person. Or you have a friend or maybe a cousin. Or maybe it's the person sitting next to you. But not me, Lord. You can't use me. This is not our main scripture, but I want you to look at Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, "Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you and what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God." Now look over at verse 27 through 30 in chapter 4. And the Lord said to Aaron, "Go into the wilderness to meet Moses." So he went and met him on the mountain of God and kissed him. So Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. Then Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses. And then he did the signs in the sight of the people. I want you to turn over to Exodus 7, chapter 7, verse 7. Exodus chapter 7, verse 7. And Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. Now turn back to Exodus chapter 5, verse 1. Exodus chapter 5, verse 1. Afterwards, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." Now, I'm not going to point out Moses to you today. I want to point out Aaron to you today. We all know the story of Moses, but here we see a man, this man named Aaron. He's the brother of Moses. He was born a slave. He was born a slave. He had no formal education. He had no resources. And he was past his youth. He's 83 years old, as you saw in verse 7 of chapter 7. He's 83 years old. But if you look back, it says that he did all the Lord commanded him. He had never been before a king in his life. He had no beauty to look at. Probably did not have the same communication skills that Moses had. And if you've read this story and you've heard where Moses is debating or arguing with God that he cannot speak, it's not that Moses, a lot of people think that Moses had a stuttering problem, but it's because Moses had been away for 40 years and he could not speak the language any longer. He needed someone who could speak the language, and Aaron could speak the language, and God called him, and Aaron went. We're going to come back to that later, but I want us to turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. We're going to start at verse 13. I want you to hear this word. the Lord has already spoken about the parables of the 10 virgins. And then we're going to go into the parable of the talents. It said, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Jesus said to watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a way. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money." Now, remember, can God use me? Can God use me? I'm not trying to trick you, and I'm not asking you to do anything publicly unless you're so inclined. How many of you believe that this really is the Word of the Lord? You really believe that this is truth? How many of you, this is between you and the Lord, call yourself a Christian, someone who's been redeemed by the Lord, bought and purchased by the Lord? You know, in Scripture it calls us servants, calls us children, He's our elder brother. He's our king. He's our Lord. He's the one who ransomed us. He's the one who paid for us. And so we belong to Him. Amen? Do we agree on that? And if He is our master, are you supposed to be obedient to a master? It's not a trick question, yes or no. I would say yes. If He's your Father, in our home, I don't know about your home, but in our home, my husband and I, we are the masters. You're not going to come in and be master over my home. I'm the master. My husband and I, we're the masters of our home. And our children are under our dominion. What we say goes. And so I've come into a new kingdom. I have a new father. And what he says goes. That's how I interpret this. So we're all in agreement that he is the king and he is the master. And that this is the truth. And he says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called. First of all, you are called into the kingdom. You are called out of darkness into light. And when that transfer takes place, you no longer... See, we have the mindset. We have this mindset that we are our own master. That we are our own master, that we are king of our lives, and that we make all of our decisions, and that we rule and reign over this kingdom. But before you are called by the king, you are already in a kingdom. And it's called the kingdom of darkness. You are in that kingdom and you are serving a master. You may not think it. You may not think that. You may be so arrogant and so prideful to think that you are serving yourself and making your own decisions. But Jesus says that you serve one or the other. Now either it's true or it's not. That's your choice. You have to come to that decision, what you believe. If this is the truth. If this is the truth, then he says that you are serving one or the other. And if he calls you, he brings you out of that kingdom, out of darkness into light, then he has become your master. He has become your king. He has become your God. You no longer serve that master. And so he likens the kingdom of heaven like a man traveling to a far country. And he called his own servant. So now you've become his servant. And he calls you to himself. He calls you to himself. And he delivers his goods to you. And what he does is he calls you and he says, "Okay, you're my servant now. And I'm going to go away for a while. But I'm going to give you this. And while I'm gone, why would he give his servants these talents? And I know it's referring to money in here. Why would he give them talents or gifts? I said, Lord, please don't let me be sarcastic. I'm not being sarcastic. But he gave me this gift, oh, just for me to feel good. Doesn't that feel good? Ooh, I just like this. Look at me. This is what he gave me for me. Do you understand? This is for me. Woohoo! That is not the way our God thinks. He is a loving God and he takes care of his. But when he calls you out, do you understand that you serve a master? You serve a master. I know we don't comprehend that in the time that we live and in the country that we live. We have no comprehension of what service is. If you don't believe it, you can go to a restaurant. Don't understand what service is, what it means to serve. But he's called us. And he gives us these gifts. He gives them to us for the expansion of the kingdom. For the good of his kingdom. For his glory. It is for him that you have received what he has given you. One of his servants he gave 5 talents. And I know in that calling, and I can use, he's here, so if he's got anything to say about it, he can say it later. When God called me and he called Mark out of darkness and brought us into light, this man has the 5 talents. And God gave me 1 talent. And sometimes I'm like, why did he get all the talents? That's not what the Lord wants. He knows. He knows what each one of us should have. He gives some 5 talents, he gives some 2 talents, and he gave the one person 1 talent. And so God is going to see what you're going to do with those talents. What are you going to do with those talents? The one who had 5 talents, he went out and he traded. And so when the master came back, he had doubled. The one who had 2 talents, when the master came back, he had doubled. The one who had 1 talent took that talent, he dug a hole and he buried it. Maybe you're looking at somebody today and you think, well, he has all the talents, he has all the gifts, it's just not fair. I'm just sitting over here with this 1 stinking little talent. Maybe it's because he's using that talent. Maybe it's because when God entrusted him, he's using that. Maybe he's taken that talent. He has the gift of music, the gift of voice. God's called him to preach, and he has increased in that. He's been faithful in that. He gave him the gift to teach. He gave him the gift to lead. And in all of that, he's been faithful in that. And so God increases. I'm not lifting him up, but I've got to have an example, and he's my example. But if God's giving you 1 talent, what are you going to do with that talent? Are you going to sit on it? Are you going to go dig a hole and bury it? Look at verse 18. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid the Lord's money. He took what the master gave him and he dug in the ground and he hid the talent. Why did we receive these talents? They're for the kingdom of God. They were to be used for the master's kingdom, to bring increase into the kingdom and to bring glory to the king. The servant who received 1 talent did not see this. Did not see that. He was too busy looking at the one who had 5 talents or the one who had 2 talents. and he hid it away. Not only did he hide it, but he did not tell anyone. Now, I want us to take this word. Let's just take it right out of here. And I want you to apply it to yourself. I want you to apply it to yourself and apply it to where you are in the body of Christ. Where you are in the kingdom of God. You see some people, let's just look at the world. You see some people who have talents. Maybe you enjoy watching a good movie or a good TV program, listening to a CD. And you see these multi-talented people and you think, man, that is so awesome. But even in the natural, they use their talent. And then they see the gift that they have, whether they call it a gift or whatever, but they increase that gift, even in the natural. Now, I'm talking about just for the spiritual, for the kingdom of God and what God has given us. If God has given you a talent, let's just say he's given you the talent to serve. And start there, the talent to serve. Maybe you don't consider that a talent, but that is a talent and a gift that's needed in the body of Christ. And God has given you that gift. But you come to church week after week and you sit on it and you will not do anything with it. Go back to verse 13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. I want you to keep that in mind. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Now those who have the other talents, the grace of God is carrying them through. They have a vision that God's called them to use what God has given them for the kingdom of God, for the expansion of the kingdom of God in the place where they are planted. The one who has the one talent, they're digging a hole and they're burying that one gift that they have. They refuse to use it. They will not. They just come and they just sit back and they observe. And usually, I'll tell you what happens with, you know, the thing is, the majority of us have one talent. The majority of us have one talent. There was only one Moses. But the majority of us have one talent. But usually in the congregation, you will see that it's those that have the five talents and the two talents that are doing all the service in the kingdom of God. They are the ones, when they hear that this is needed or that's needed or whatever, they're the ones quick to run, and the others with the one talent sit. Digging that hole, burying that gift, not going to use it. Well, I'm not called to use it. I want us to go back to verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. If you have a talent, which you do have a talent, if you're born again, you have a gift from God, you are called to use it for him and for his service. It is not yours to keep to yourself. You are called to use it. We're going to give a report one day, folks. And the message that Pastor Mark brought last week, it's coming sooner than we think. I don't know the day or the hour, but I know that His return is imminent. I know that it is for sure. It is more sure than anything else in this world. And we're going to give an account. That should put fear and trembling in you with what you do, with what you have. I want you to look at verses 24 and 25. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. I can't imagine the day that I stand before the Lord and that I would tell him, here, this is what you gave me. The servant with the one talent blames the master. Do you see this? He is blaming the master for why he buried it. For the reason of the burial of the talent was the master's fault. It was out of fear. The servant never received what the master had given him. Do you understand? He never received it. He never received it. He never saw the importance of it. He despised it. He despised it and he buried it. Will you bury something that God has given you? Because maybe you don't have 5 talents, or maybe you don't have 2 talents. Will you take the one thing that God has given you and dig a hole and bury it and run about and live your life as though you have no master? But yet when there's time for a service, or there's time to sing a song to the Lord, or there's time for prayer, you want to call upon His name and you want to say, He is my Lord. But you never serve Him with anything. He's only your Lord when it suits you. He's never your Lord when He's called you and asked you to use what He's deposited within you. Does He not give good gifts? My God gives good gifts. Is it because it's not because you can't sing, because you don't have a beautiful voice, because you don't have the voice of Jenny? Well, I'm not using this talent because I can't sing. Well, I'm not using this talent because I can't play the piano. I'm not using this talent because I don't speak well and they speak well. No. God's fault, isn't it? I realize that it's God's fault. It's His fault, the reason that we don't serve Him. Because we know that one day He's coming back and there's going to be a judgment. And we're going to have to give an account. And so I'm going to take what He's given me and I'm going to give it back to Him and say, here, this is what You gave me. Now I'm giving it back to You. Because we didn't consider the gift that He gave us. I don't know about you, but maybe you've a loved one, their birthday was coming, or Christmas was coming, or your anniversary, and you want to get them just this special gift. And oh, this year you have it. You know that they're going to love it and they're going to cherish it. And you give it to them and they open it up. You go, oh. Heartbroken, aren't you? I don't know about you, but I would be. If Mark treated a gift that I gave him like that, I would just be devastated. What are you doing with what God has given you? What are you doing with what God has given you? Don't you know that whatever He gives you, that He will give you the grace to walk it out and to accomplish what He's called you to do? He's a much better Father than the fathers that we have on earth, because they are limited. But He is not limited. There is no limit to Him. He is a God who adds to. He does not take away. Everything belongs to God. All the gifts, all the talents, everything, they come from Him to us. Sometimes we assume that they are ours and that we're just developing them. Every good thing comes from God. Every good thing comes from God. Can God use me? Can God use me? I want us to look at verse 26. But his Lord answered and said to him, "You are wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed." This is how the Lord responds to the servant who blames him. He says, "You're wicked." You don't think of yourself as wicked, do you? It's not my opinion of you. You got to understand, you don't take this personally. It's not my opinion of you, but it's God's opinion of you. He says that you're wicked and he says you're lazy. You may be a very industrious person, but God says you're lazy. You don't use it for the kingdom of God and his service. He says, "You're wicked and you're lazy because you despise the one talent that he gave you. And because you had one talent and you did not add to it. You did not think that it was worth cultivating. And saying, 'I'll take that one talent, God, and I will use that one talent.'" And you wonder why some have five talents. And every time you look, it seems as though they've got another talent. Or you see someone with two talents and you look at them again and they have three talents. And there you sit with your one talent that no one knows that you have and that you dare not mention. Because I'm not as good as them. I have too many problems. You don't know what my life is like. You don't know what my family's like. I don't have the finances they do. I don't look as good as they do. I don't dress as well as they do. I don't. And so you bury it. Why is there no power in the church? Why is there no power in the church? Do you ever wonder that? Do you ever think on that? Maybe because we have churches filled with people who despise what God has given them, who are too busy furthering their own kingdom, too busy building their own houses, too busy building their own empires, being their own master. Too busy despising. It says we're wicked and we're lazy. Let's read verses 28 and 30. He said, "Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. There'll come a day. There comes a day that we stand and we give an account. Because the master returns. In the parable of the 10 virgins, we see that the groom comes. In the parable of the talents, we see that the master returns. And he says, "Now give an account to me of what you've done with what I've given you." Does that seem way far off to you? I don't know the day or the hour. But he says, take that one talent. Take it. And you give it to this one who has. "For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away." Now, the church world does not think that that's the Jesus that they serve. Jesus wouldn't do that. He would not, because He's always a good and a loving and a kind God, and He understands. He understands the difficulties that we're going through, and He understands that we're just not able to do it at this time. He is our high priest. There is nothing that you go through that He does not understand or cannot identify with. Now understand, listen to me very closely. Listen to me very closely. Do not misunderstand me. You are a servant. You are a servant. Your life is not your own. I know that you think it is. Sometimes I'll let the enemy come in and deceive me and tell me my life is not my, that it's my own, and that I am the master of my life. But it is a lie. It is a lie that was concocted by Satan and his angels. Because God is the master, and He is the king. You know, you can struggle with that all you want. It won't change it. It will not change it. It will not change who He is or where He is seated. It will not change this word. You can read all around it. You can get a different version. But it's going to say the same thing. It's going to say, "And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." You can try to blame Him all you want. You can just say, "Well, it's just one tiny little talent. It won't make a difference." If it didn't make a difference, He wouldn't have you here. That's how important you are. That's how important that one talent is to God. That one talent is so important to God. You are so important to God that He calls this thing. He created this thing called the body of Christ. He created this thing called the church. And He put us together. And He's the head. And He has deposited within us these things that He desires to use to fulfill His kingdom. That we may be His instruments. That we may be profitable servants. Profitable servants to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We don't know the day or the hour. We are going to have trials and we are going to suffer tribulation in this life. In this life, hard times are going to come. Distractions are going to come. He says, "But you don't know the day or the hour in which I'm going to return and which I'm going to demand an account." Is He forgiving? He is forgiving. In this body, I'm talking to those who are committed in this body. Do you want to see the kingdom of God expand? Now we can go out week after week after week and knock on doors and invite people, but you know what? If there's not a changed something in here, if there's not a submission to who He is and a submission to say, "I am ready to take this talent, God, and to use it. I'm tired of building my own kingdom. I'm tired of building things for me," because you know what, folks? It's all going to burn. I'm just telling you. In case you don't know it, it is going to burn. And what will you have to present to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? It will not be your home. It will not be your job. It will not be your bank account. It will not be your good health. It will not be your whatever. You put in the whatever. I can tell you right now, take that degree and hand it to God and see what He does with it. Even though God may be calling you to get that degree, I am for education. But if you take that talent you have and you will not use it, you see no importance in expanding the kingdom of God The only importance you see is expanding your own kingdom, your own pleasures. Because the majority of us, it's about us. The majority of us, it's all about us. Now, you get honest with yourself. You get honest with yourself. You do what you want to do. Most churches, they come up with programs. Well, we have to have programs for the children, because if you don't have programs for the children, I'm telling you, parents won't come. You got to have programs for the youth. If you don't have programs for the youth, I'm telling you the truth, parents won't come, because they want their children entertained. It doesn't cross, and you know I'm speaking in general terms, okay? I'm speaking in general terms. It doesn't cross a parent's mind these days to think, oh, I'm the father, oh, I'm the mother, I'm supposed to lead this family. Is this where God wants us? This is where God wants us. They don't have a youth program? Then you know what? You sit in church. They don't have nursery? You straighten up and you behave yourself. If not, we're going out. And you know what that means. Well, our kids don't get enough entertainment. They get plenty of entertainment. Parents. Adults. I was thinking this morning, and about a precious couple that I know. I've not even known them 10 years. And in 10 years, they're already in their fourth church. They're already in their fourth church. They're not troublemakers. They're a nice couple. They're in their fourth church. And I thought, Lord, why can they not be committed and settle in and work? Work where you've called them to work. Use that talent. Use that gift and be plugged in. They left one church because this wasn't happening. And then they went to another church. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord is there. Everything is happening. Well, then things weren't happening enough. So that I got to thinking, well, I guess the Spirit of the Lord keeps leaving. I guess the Spirit of the Lord keeps leaving. And so you have to go, you have to follow, you know. And I guess God can only be in one place. So I'm just reevaluating that, okay? Well, is the Spirit of the Lord here? I've heard many, many people say, oh, the Spirit of the Lord was there today. The Spirit of the Lord was there today. And then I don't see changed lives, and I think, well, maybe the Spirit of the Lord really wasn't here. Did you just come in and have an emotional fix, and then nothing changed? Because you're still sitting on that one talent. You're still not willing to commit. Because you're still your own master. You're still making your own decisions. I want you to go back to Aaron. Think back to Aaron. Aaron was a slave. He was 83 years old. I don't think we have any 83-year-olds in here today. But we're all working on it. The Lord tarries. Some of us are closer than some of you. But at 83, this man was called slave. God called him. That one talent was that he could speak the language. And Aaron loved God. Even though he'd been living in a pagan society all of his life, he'd heard the promises told to him. Heard the promises. And then he heard the voice of God. God called him. And he went. And he met his brother. He wasn't Moses. He was not Moses. He was not the one called to meet God face to face. But he was willing what Moses said, I'll say. And he went before Pharaoh. He said, let my people go. He spoke to the people. And that one gift that he had, then God made him the high priest. We love to say that we're a priesthood of believers, and that we don't need anyone to go before the Lord for us, that we're a high priest. I mean, Jesus is our high priest, but we're priests. And we can do what Aaron did. We can speak to the Lord face to face. But not one of us have that same heart to serve. And I'm speaking in general terms, because I can't judge your heart. Aaron asked the question, can God use me? And God answered him. He said, I can use you, Aaron. I can use you for my kingdom. I can use you to expand it. I can use you because you will be a servant. I need for you to be a servant to Moses. And I need for you to be a servant to these stiff-necked people. And Aaron got up and he left. And he took that one talent, and God used it. Aaron wasn't looking at what he didn't have. Aaron did not look at the fact that he had no formal education, that he was not raised in a palace. Moses was, but he wasn't. And probably never in his life had he stood before Pharaoh. And if anyone had stood before Pharaoh, it was probably for an execution. But he was the right-hand man to Moses. Moses was leading the people of Israel out. Aaron was beside him with his one talent. With his one talent. And all that multitude came out. He did not look at anything but at God. And he served. God has given everyone here a talent. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. For those of you who have been called out of darkness into light, you're called into a new kingdom. You have a new king and a new master. He's going to return. But until he does, he has entrusted his servants with this work. I don't know if you even realize what we've been entrusted with. He has entrusted us, frail dust piles, with the expanding of the kingdom of God. And he has deposited within us. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Now is the time. Now is the time for obedience. God is calling you today. That is the message for you today. God's asking you a question. This is the question for everyone that's sitting in this building today. Will you be obedient? Will you be obedient with your one talent? I'm not desiring to stir anything in you. I don't want you to be stirred in your emotions. It's not been my desire for condemnation. I don't believe the word of the Lord is condemnation. God desires that you would answer Him. Will you be obedient? Will you be obedient with what He has deposited? What He's calling you to do? If we could stand. Do we have a closing song? Okay. Don't want to drag anything out, but when God asks you a question, when He asks you to respond, we want to give you time for a response. And so we have an altar over here to the side, or you are welcome to stay at your chair, but respond to the Lord today. If He has spoken to you, we just ask that you would respond. Before your throne, and we take your words and we put them in our hearts, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would stir in us, that you would prick us, that you would move us. We would not be guilty on the day when our Master returns of saying that we have buried our gifts. Lord, but we would use them for you. Thank you for meeting with us here. Thank you for your presence. And thank you that you have redeemed us. Lord, I'm so grateful. I am so grateful that you are God. I'm so grateful that you would consider us. We cannot do anything within ourselves. We throw ourselves upon your mercy and your grace. We are so grateful that you are the one who cares for us. As we leave here today, we thank you that you go with us. We thank you that you will minister to us. We ask that you would watch over us and keep us safe and bring us back together this evening, Lord. We may gather in your name. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.